Today, on The Journey.
We're not talking about irreconcilable differences here. You're talking about being involved in a situation where you're experiencing abuse and you're praying for your husband and you still want that thing to work because you want people to see that God is a God of miracles, even with relationships.
Any way you slice it, divorce is painful. It cuts deeply into both partners and even deeper into their children. During this half hour, Ron Moore begins a two-part examination of those wounds in a conversation with one who bears the scars of divorce. In her story, you'll find a gracious Lord who binds up our hurts. Just before that, I want you to know about our free offer for this series. It's the booklet titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. You can order it at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it after the message. Now, here's Ron to introduce his guest for part one of their conversation, titled Divorce in Real Life, on The Journey.
Today, I want to introduce to you a special guest who has been on a challenging journey in her life, and I want you to see the things we've been talking about in Scripture, how these things play out, what they look like in real life. So, Gretchen, welcome to The Journey today.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
So, Gretchen, you're sitting here now. You have four beautiful grown children. You have grandchildren, and God is blessing you. You have challenges like everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God is blessing you in some really evident ways. But it's not always been like that. You have a story to tell, and I know that some people listening today are going to relate to some things God has taken you through in your life. And you were married when you were 20 years old,
And
things started out well, but after a while, you saw some things very concerning in the relationship. Talk a little bit about some of those first things that you observed.
He was 21 when we married, and he unfortunately had been drinking in college, which is all too common, and we thought it would stop. I did. After we were married, it did not. It got worse, and so he worked for a while and then didn't work as much anymore, and we had a child, and he became violent and angry, and that continued, well, for quite a long period of time. And I knew the Lord. I had become a believer during this time after we were married and just kind of expected things to get better, but God doesn't always take us up that road. He takes us up a road where we're going to change, and some things maybe need worked out of us. That's the way I looked at it then, and I still do. So I began to pray for him and prayed for a long, long time. And in some ways, that makes it worse, but it's the only thing we can do.
Right. One of the things you said is so important. You talked about your husband was drinking during college, and you married him expecting that to stop.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people who overlook a concerning habit or characteristic in a fiancé. They think that as soon as they're married, something's going to change. Talk to that person a little bit who has that rose-colored glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to look the person in the eyes and say, if you don't change, I'll still marry you, because there's no guarantee that someone's going to change, is there?
That's right. We have to see what we cannot live with if we're believers. I was not a believer when I was married, but I still should have seen the yellow lights, the yellow warning lights, and I did not, or I ignored them. And my home life wasn't good, and so I wanted to marry young and get out of that, and I went from the frying pan into the fire, so to speak. But yes, you really need to know what are the things that you absolutely cannot live with. You better know that, because it's likely they're not going to change and you're not going to change them, that's for sure.
You became a Christian and you started praying that God had changed your heart, so he certainly has the power to change your husband's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're praying, you're expecting God to do some things, but the timing is not your timing, and sometimes God's ways are not our ways. There are some people doing the same thing right where you are. They're praying right now, Lord, please change my husband. Please change my wife. They want to stay in the marriage. They want their spouse to change. Talk about your view of God, your disappointment with God, your challenges regarding your relationship with the Lord as you're working through these things in a marriage that's extremely challenging.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a lot of anger. I had anger issues anyway from other reasons, but I was very angry for a while at God. But you know, the scripture that always came to me when Jesus said to them, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There was nobody in my life that could fix this, make it go away, change it, change him. So I stuck closer. I pressed in very hard to God and said, "I'm in this for the long haul. I believe you're going to do something. I don't know what it is." And in his mercy, he does not show us what's ahead.
A lot of times we hear these stories, Gretchen, in bad situation, a person prays, and then all of a sudden, everything changes. And while those stories are true, and we praise God for them, when I hear those stories, I know enough about the stories of many people to know that their story didn't change. And what is a great praise for someone else can be discouraging, because you start thinking, well, I'm not praying the right way, or I'm not praying enough, or whatever. Your story didn't change, and you still continued to depend on God. What kept you pressing hard into God, even when you weren't seeing visible results?
It had to be his grace, because I used to, well, my husband actually accused me. He said, "You're going to use religion as a crutch." Maybe it was, but I had broken legs. I needed that crutch. And so that's, I think, part of the reason why I pressed in so hard. But one thing I'd like to say here also is, in churches, we need to be so aware of the single parents and the singles among us who are going through this situation, because there were many well-meaning couples that overlooked me and my children. And that was very hurtful. And I can see that you can become bitter and quit going to church. But that was where, you know, also my support group was, a lot of them. So,
you know, I think that's a great reminder to those of you listening who are involved in church. You're involved in a great community of believers, and you look around, and sometimes we come to church and we have our best face on, and it looks like everything's going so well in people's lives. But when you're going through a tough time, only God can minister to the deepest longing of the soul. But you need people around you. You need people just to encourage you and let you know they're praying for you and let you know they're going to be around to support you. And I think that's a great word, Gretchen, to those going to church.
And I've seen people sitting in church like I used to, crying when everybody's making their way out of the sanctuary. And I would sit and cry. And someone would come and just put their arm around my shoulders and pray with me or just weep with me. And I can go because of people doing that for me. That is very important.
Yeah. So you're married. There's some drinking. There's loss of jobs. There's abuse, first verbally and then physically. You have, by this time, four children.
Over those years, yes.
Over those years. And there was some financial situations. There was some unfaithfulness. But Gretchen, you still wanted to stick in the marriage. You felt you should stay and continue to pray for God to change him. Why did you feel like you should stick in the marriage?
The scriptures, when I search them, it says, unless God makes it clear otherwise, we are to persevere. We don't know when the day of change will come. I didn't know when I would change, and I sure needed change. At any time, he could have changed. And then when the time comes, and sometimes it does in a situation where there's abuse, where the Lord says, "That's enough. I'm removing you." Or he removes them. It's his timing. It has to be his timing. If it's our timing, who knows what we're going to mess up.
Right. You waited on the Lord during those.
Absolutely.
And the waiting was hard.
Oh, yes. Now, we did separate a couple of times during that because of how violent it was. But then I just really felt like it's not over yet. And so when we would talk and then we would go back together for a while and it did not change. But then the time came where some long story, I could not share it now, but where the Lord said, "I'm moving you out," and took me to another state because of the threats.
And Gretchen, this is important for people to hear. When we talk about staying in a marriage and we talk about continuing to pray, we're not talking about putting your children at risk. Talk a little bit about that, because as you said, you separated a couple times. So I don't want anyone to get the impression that you stay in a situation when you or your children could be physically harmed or abused. Mm-hmm. We want to make that clear.
Yes. And that has come up many times when I used to work with divorce care. That discussion would come up different times. You can see when it's getting too violent. He never was violent to them, but it was becoming more so to me. And eventually, my oldest, who is a boy, got involved. And I could see that he was becoming violent towards his father. And at that time is when the Lord removed us. Like I said, it had to be his timing. But you still pray. We right. still prayed and said, Lord, you can do miracles. You mm-hmm. can do beyond anything we can ask or think. And we're going to hang in there, separate, without seeking a divorce.
Right. Now, you moved to another state. Mm-hmm. So you went a distance away. And that was a big move. You had some help with family doing that. But it was tough financially for you.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, anytime you make a transition, tough on you and tough on your kids. But God kind of put some distance in there for a time, didn't he, mm-hmm. to allow a place of safety.
And healing. I had reached a point where I had to have some healing from all that had gone on. And yes, we went to another state, and we were on government assistance for a period of time because I had a baby at the time. My mother was a widow, couldn't really help. There was really nobody who could actually mm-hmm. help. And you don't want people to pay all your bills. You know, you right. want some self-sufficiency. So there was a lot of financial hardship, and he paid no support ever.
You're listening to The Journey, and we are talking to Gretchen today about a challenging marriage situation that she lived through, and we believe her story will be instructive and encouraging to you. Now, Gretchen, you talked about difficult situation you're in. There's physical abuse, there's verbal abuse, there's alcohol involved. And you said sometimes you got involved by enabling. And I know that that's a huge challenge to mm-hmm. those listening. Talk about some of the characteristics of the enabler and what you did, thinking you were helping, but long-term hurting the situation.
I would make excuses for him to other people, family members, friends, why he couldn't come to something. I would tell the kids when they would ask, why is he screaming? He's upset about something. I would try to cover those things up. I would mm-hmm. call and say, oh, he can't come in to work. He's sick today. And I finally realized what I was doing, and I really felt the Lord showed me, wait a minute, I didn't even know the term enabling at the time. But what am I doing? I'm not making things any easier here. Well, I was for him, but I wasn't making it any easier for us.
Right. So you prayed and you stayed in the situation until you really felt like your children were in danger and mm-hmm. you were in danger. And we want to really emphasize that. When a family is in a situation where there's abuse verbally and physically, you need to seek safety. You need
yes.
to get out of that situation. And by God's grace, you were able to. You moved to a different state, and yet you didn't file for divorce at that point. You continued to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You still wanted God and believed that God could change him.
Yes. I know if he could change me, he could change anybody, because I was a mess. So I knew that God could change him. And during this time, this always has stayed with me. We prayed, the children and I prayed every day, and I was 1,000 miles away. I would get phone calls saying, you'll not believe what happened. Somebody went up and talked to him in the bar. And it was the Lord reaching out to him over and over again, just amazing things. And in any one of those situations, he could have said, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. Like prodigal son, come to himself and say, I'm repenting. I want my family back. Mm-hmm. He never did, but the Lord was so merciful to him during this time. So I would always encourage anyone, pray, pray, pray. No matter what is going on in your marriage, you pray for that person. When you pray for someone, it's hard for you to have unforgiveness towards them.
You make a tremendous point, Gretchen, because a lot of times we pray and we think that it's going to be something we say to the person, or we think we know how the conversation is going to take place. But as you say, later you learned that people at a bar were going to him and saying some things, and God ordained things
mm-hmm.
that were an answer to your prayer. And we never know how God's going to work, do we?
No. And that built my faith to see where I am so far away and kind of the underdog in this situation. Mm-hmm. I can pray, and God, the God of the universe, is speaking to him and trying to draw him to himself and to reconcile us back together.
So you're 1,000 miles away, and God is still working mm-hmm. in your husband's life. He's still your husband. You're still praying for him. Mm-hmm. And you even called several times, didn't you, just to say, hey, let's go through counseling. Let's get some help. What was the response when you did that?
No, he said, it'll be on my terms only. I'm not changing anything in my lifestyle. You come back here, and we'll go right back to where we were. Well, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go back mm-hmm. into that unstable life and the threats, and I could tell they were still there, mm-hmm. I mean, in his voice as he spoke. And so I couldn't do that.
Gretchen, you're with the kids. You're 1,000 miles away. Obviously, a lot of things are going on in his life. Do you think he ever missed the kids? Do you think he ever missed them growing up?
He missed them. He missed them very much, but not enough. And my son, when he did his online blog talking about this, he mm-hmm. said, I wasn't worth him coming to get me. And that was what hurt them and hurt us and hurt me long term. We have to show someone how much we care. And that was never there, even mm-hmm. though I knew that he missed them. And they would write him letters and little notes, you know, and talk to him on the phone. And he would weep. Mm-hmm. But what does weeping do when it doesn't change? You have to do more than weep.
Yeah, there has to be some action behind the emotion.
Yes.
Talk about your children. They're young at this point. You know you're doing the best thing for them because you're not going to have them in a situation that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. But what were some of the things they were going through? I mean, they're in a different place, 1,000 miles from home. Their dad's not there. You're doing everything you can to keep it together financially, and this is a tough time. What were some of the responses, the reactions of your kids during that time?
Well, each one at one point in the first year after we left broke down. Two with the pastor of the church where we were attending, and they wept. And then my son, I sat on the edge of his bed and wept with him one night, which will stay in my mind the rest of my life. He was 12. And the youngest, she was 10 months, so it affected her the least. But the other three were just devastated. It was freedom from fear for us because we weren't hearing the things breaking and screaming. And mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was the loss of a father to them and a marriage to me. It was terrible.
It's amazing when you say that because it's a reminder of the complexity mm-hmm. of the emotions going on. On one hand, you're thankful, you're not fearful anymore. But at the same time, you still miss mm-hmm. the person that was causing the fear. The parent-child relationship is a complex mm-hmm. relationship, isn't it?
It is very much.
Well, finally, you get some monies together and you decide to move back to this area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you're thinking that you could make a go of it. Let's
yeah.
come back and
let's see what's happening.
Let's see what's happening. And when you got back, you saw some things that you really didn't want to see.
Right. Yes, he had been in a relationship for a while. And during this time, he was living with family through all of this, which made it easier for him because mm-hmm. they paid his bills and took care of him. And that is another thing I could address. Enabling your grown children to not live up to their responsibilities has made me pretty mm-hmm. fanatic about not doing that with my own. But yeah, I found out he was in a relationship and he was so angry with me, so bitter that I had taken his children away, was the way he put it, that he would not speak to me for a long time. But he did see them. He did make the effort to spend time with them. He still didn't pay any bills, but he did want to see them. And I wanted that to work out. I wanted them to have a relationship with him. He never asked for custody.
Just kind of wanted to see him on his terms.
On his terms, whenever mm-hmm. he wanted to. You know, take him out for lunch or whatever and then bring him back.
Gretchen, you make a critical point, and let's just talk about this a second. He is living a destructive lifestyle. He's not helping you guys at all financially. You had to move away for a while. And his parents were supporting him. Now, there are going to be times when some devastation could happen in our kid's life where we need to help them out.
Right.
But they're living a destructive lifestyle. talk to those parents just to encourage them not to enable their grown children to continue that lifestyle?
Yes, I would so urge people. If, like you say, they're able to take care of themselves, they don't have an illness, if it's self-chosen, you know, they're drinking or whatever, mm-hmm. that lifestyle is the kindest thing, the best thing you can do for them and for their families is to say, you're not living under my roof anymore and I'm not paying your bills. And, you know, someone not long ago made a very good point to me and I never thought of. He said, in the story of the prodigal son, when that prodigal son left his father and went away, the prodigal son's father never went after him. Mm-hmm. He did not go after him and say, oh, wait, don't feed those pigs. Let me take care of you. Mm-hmm. Let me pay your bills. He let him go. He didn't even know if he was still living. He prayed for him. I'm sure he waited for him to come home, but he never took care of him. And mm-hmm. I think that is such a good story from the Bible mm-hmm. that we can live by.
That is extremely profound. The father forgave, mm-hmm. waited, and embraced him with open arms, but he didn't go mm-hmm. enable him to come back. The son, on the other end, came to his senses, and it was God that was at work in his heart.
Yes.
That's a great point you make. So your children are struggling through this. Your husband, who you move back to this area, you learn he's not only continuing the alcohol and the abusive temperament, but also now involved in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You still, in this time, felt strongly that divorce was not an option. You wanted this thing to work so badly.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I mean, you have to be devastated.
Mm-hmm.
There's unfaithfulness going on, but you want it for your children.
Yes, and I come from a broken childhood. And so I think those of us that are in that situation, and there's many, many, many of us, we feel even more strongly that we need to make this work somehow or other. We need to retrieve this. And there are people watching you. When they know that you are a Christian, they're watching to see what you're going to do. And so we have to live in front of them in such a way that the word of God is not in any way slandered. And this is what he said. He didn't say take the easy road. Mm-hmm. He said, this is what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. And I am your father and I am your God and I want you to do it as long as you can.
So you're taking living the Christian life very seriously here.
Oh my, yes.
We're not talking about irreconcilable differences here. It'd be better for us to split up. You're talking about being involved in a situation where you're experiencing abuse and you're praying for your husband and you still want that thing to work because you want people to see that God is a God of miracles, even with the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God who can heal broken hearts. He's a God who can take away damaging and destructive temperaments. And you wanted people to see that.
Yes, I did. And I still do. I still speak passionately to people about this because you do not know, as I said before, when they will change and what God can do. Amazing, amazing things. Not that I was even eager to have him back. At this point, the romance is gone. I mean, there's just like nothing like, oh, I'm just dying to go back with him. But Lord, if you're going to do something in his life, then you would put us back together because he's the one who heals and rebuilds.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. Are you concerned about our society's drift away from lifelong commitment in marriage? Do you worry about that influence on your children's view of matrimony? And just what is God's design for marriage anyway? Well, those concerns are addressed in Ron Moore's free guide titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. In this publication, Ron conducts a grace-filled examination of the issues that are crippling our families and dividing our society. Drawing from landmark studies and biblical instruction, he offers encouragement for those seeking to build a God-honoring home. What the Bible Says About Marriage is yours free of charge, in print form or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or call toll-free, 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Gretchen, when I do a series on marriage and family, I know that there are a lot of couples out there who have gone through a divorce. But in all these situations, and I know this is hard for people to hear, it impacts children. You've lived through this. talk to people about the impact of divorce on children.
We trust you'll join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that Ron's free guide, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality, is yours with a visit to ronmoore.org or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.